Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to offer you, our listeners, a free audiobook of your choosing. All you have to do is register for a 1 month free trial to claim your free audiobook. There are over 60,000 to choose from. If you're in the UK, you can register at audible.co.uk/footballramble. The 30-day free trial means you can choose a free audiobook from sizzling biographies to the latest fiction or even classical works, which is yours to keep whether or not you decide to cancel in the trial period. Register now at audible.co.uk/footballramble.
Cowboys and Indians, welcome to the Football Ramble. Good to have you here. My name's Marcus and I've got three gunslingers with me. Jim.
Hello.
Pete.
American Indians, thank you.
And Luke.
All right.
Hello, boys. Right then, let's move straight on to the opening question. Wesley Snyder was recently talking about the tattoo he has of his wife on his stomach. If you had to get a tattoo of a footballer or someone in the world of football, who would it be, Jim?
Bit of a risk, that, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, you know, obviously, you're going to be devoted to your wife, I would think.
You don't, but, you know. Footballers, though, you never know.
Yeah, true.
He obviously loves her very much.
Well, yeah, and good on him and his stomach. I would have a tattoo of, like, a ponytail going down my back, and hanging off of it would be Roberto Baggio.
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
Or a pigtail, though.
No, he had a ponytail.
No, it wasn't a pigtail.
Pigtail.
Sorry. Well, it was like a rat's tail,
wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. When you were going Dave Seaman.
Yes.
When I first heard that.
I do not want semen on me at all.
Why couldn't you have like a ponytail, Jim, and then you could have Roberto Baggio, the back of his head on your
true,
back,
actually,
and
yeah.
it can meet in the middle. His ponytail could sort of intertwine.
Yeah, well, I'll change it to that.
There you go.
I'll sacrifice a perfectly good hairstyle.
Ineligible for debatably. The points now. Outside interference.
Hang on a minute, that's not a rule. But it could be coming rule in next season. Pete, what have you got?
Carlos Tevez would look good in green because he looks a bit like Blanca.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Tevez.
Oh, yeah, so you've done that.
But you're not green.
No, so but the tattoo,
have you got
the tattoo would be
right.
green.
I like your thinking there.
See?
Like your
thinking about the future when it starts to fade a little bit. Mm. And I'm a man who has loads of stupid tattoos, so don't worry about it.
You got the pirate from Monkey Island on your leg, haven't you?
Yeah.
I'm genuinely
all
concerned.
Pirates in Monkey Island, so.
I'm genuinely concerned Pete would actually get this tattoo. It wouldn't even be the worst tattoo he's got.
Even,
no.
Look what you're going for.
Carlos Valderrama, pubis.
I've seen your testicles on more than one occasion.
We all have.
Speaking of that, I'll tell you what we haven't heard from for a while. Testicle Matt.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long while.
Yeah.
Testicle Matt.
Is he still knocking about Mexico,
Mexico
City?
Mexico, remember?
Yeah.
Well, we wish him and his balls well.
Yeah. So your pubes would be the hair.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah, yeah. Carlos Valderrama.
Is there a lot of room down there to get his face on?
Not really.
I'd have a tattoo of Roy Hodgson. Up yours, everybody. Now, let's move on to the Premier League.
No one getting the points?
No.
Oh, blimey. Pete, you've got the points.
Birthday.
Oh, yeah, it's your birthday.
Happy birthday, Pete.
Thanks,
yeah.
But you did deserve the points because you actually thought about it, and you are the most qualified out of all of us to talk about tattoos. Mm. Luke's got a couple, but Pete's got more.
Yeah, true.
Premier League. Manchester City have beaten Manchester United
in the league final.
In the grand league final.
Way off.
Yeah.
Anyone else thinking about killing themselves now that it's over? Nothing to live for now, is there?
we've literally just come off the back of washing it, haven't we? It was drab, frankly, wasn't it? It wasn't a great game.
And United were
just listless. Just really, really... They didn't seem to know what the stakes were.
About as sloppy as I've seen a United side in a very...
Yeah, I'd say so.
Man United side.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry to say it, Manchester United fans, but those points dropped at home to Everton.
Yeah.
Like, if I was a United fan, I'd be
to bite you in the rectum.
Oh, my giddy aunt. But, Luke, you were saying you felt Ferguson almost bottled it.
No, that's probably a bit strong. I'm a huge fan of Ferguson, as you all know, but I don't know why...
Yeah, obviously that's not right to word it like that, but...
The rationale behind it was presumably that Nani had given Clichia a horrible time earlier on in the season, so that's why he didn't pick Valencia. But I'd have picked Valencia all day. He's such a good deliverer across with the ball. And Rooney really relies on him as well. I don't know statistics off the top of my head, but Rooney thrives on Valencia's delivery. And I was surprised that he didn't pick him.
Well, especially if he played Rooney up top.
Yeah.
On his own.
Looks a bit isolated, so,
exactly.
He?
But if you're going to do that, surely you've got to put Valencia in there.
And what about Park as well?
Yeah, well, Park was, you know, presumably in there for his industry, but there was a real lack of urgency from all of the players. And that nobody sort of... kind of escaped from that. I suppose Phil Jones was tearing about quite a bit at the end. He put in a shift, I suppose. But it was just, as I say, it was as if they didn't really know what the stakes were. They seemed to, almost weirdly, seemed overawed by the occasion, which I did not see coming at all.
Rooney didn't have the ball at all.
No, he was poor when he had it as well. There was a lot of sloppy passing, giving away needless throws. Just they didn't seem to be thinking about their passes a lot of the time. They just give it away before they'd even realise they'd passed it.
There was a situation sort of 10 minutes from the end where City were obviously a goal up. Great powerful header from Kompany, excellent leap as well. Really atoned for his sending off earlier on in the season, you know, against United. But there was a situation about 10 minutes from the end where traditionally you'd really expect United to be turning the screw, piling the pressure on. And it was City piling the pressure on. And even United's forays into the box towards the end seemed a little bit half-hearted, didn't they?
Joe Hart didn't have a thing to do, really.
No, not really.
The difference between the two teams on the break as well, you know, Manchester City just looked a little bit more focused. They had a little bit more room than Manchester United. And just Man United, just they just didn't want to seem to get the ball out of their own half.
And Toure is like a combine harvester through the middle of the pitch when he gets going.
But I think one of those games, it's such a high-profile match. It was largely a stalemate, and it's just the margins.
Yeah.
It's just somebody just peeling away from a marker in a set piece.
And that's that.
And that's the game settled.
Well, I think the perfect contrast is the late corner they had where Ashley Young failed to beat the first man. Oh. It was just really, really poor.
And Young's
poor
got
delivery.
Good delivery.
Yeah,
normally.
He has, but it was just, you know, City, they made those little things count, as you're saying. It's those fine margins.
I've just got half. I mean, not normally, you can't normally level this at Ferguson, to be fair to him, throughout his career, by and large.
He's had a magnificent career.
Yeah, of course. Yes, you couldn't normally level this at him, but I just sort of think he half thought, you know what, if we don't lose this game, we're in business.
Yeah.
And if we get a point out of this, we'll be okay. And it wasn't enough. And what happened was, when City went ahead, United were always struggling. They're always struggling.
But City was so solid. It was one of those games where Rooney and everybody, every channel they go down, they're blocked off. Yeah. Every time they try and create something, it doesn't happen. Yeah. This way, that way, City bang bang blocked it. And because they got the goal. It was so crucial for City that they got the goal. I mean, City did look slightly more likely going forward, but I thought actually United defended quite well. And you just wonder if that goal hadn't gone in. Well, the second half would have looked
for me, the best United sides have been swashbuckling sides. They go out there and they roll teams over. Now, I know City are a good team, but I just think that maybe Ferguson just thought, player for player, they're better than us, and we know that. And away from home, we need to keep it tight, and it backfired.
I think City isolated Wayne Rooney very well, and that was key to the whole strategy for their game.
Giggs looked off the pace as well, weirdly.
Starting with Giggs and Scholes, and such a high intensity game as a gamble as well, which didn't pay off.
Giggs, Scholes, and Carrick. There was not a pacey midfield when you compared to some of those players
they've got.
The City have got.
There's a lot of football to be played. I mean, we almost caught ourselves because we watched the game together. Caught ourselves thinking, well, that's it now. But there's still two games, effectively four games left, two games each. A lot can happen between now.
Because you watch it on Sky, that's why. Exactly. Oh my God, it's the end of the universe.
That's true.
Kiss your loved ones.
We don't have homes to go to. But but the big match now, all attention is on Manchester City when they go away to Newcastle. Your boys could have a say in the time.
Who were listless against Wigan.
I don't.
But
their
away form's been a bit weird, isn't it? You know, they lost 5-0 at Fulham as well. So I think they're a different proposition.
5-2 it was.
5-2 was it?
Have they not won 6 on the bounce going to that game though? They've won an awful lot of games going into
that. But Wigan are very much with their tails up, though, lest we forget. Yeah. But
Wigan finally have clicked, haven't they, it seems?
With Man City going away to Newcastle, you know, they're going to be coming off the back of a possible defeat against Chelsea away. I can't see us doing much at home with a side like that, to be quite frank.
Yeah, it'll be tough for Newcastle. Yeah. But I mean, that said, if Newcastle beat Chelsea, which could happen...
Yeah.
You know, it's a different ball game. I'd rather have United's games than City's games.
Yeah, absolutely. And then never underestimate. I mean, QPR, City have got home on the last day. Of course, you'd fancy City, but QPR needing to stay up, I'd imagine. Come that
they've
come
nicked
that day.
One nilers recently. You know?
Yeah,
big Bobby Z. I could do it.
Just the way they play.
Straight on the plane.
We'll come to that. All right, don't jump the gun.
I'd like his celebration to be pulling his boarding pass out of his sock. Yeah. Just waving it around. I'm off to Ukraine.
I'm the anti-Jim Bonder.
Yeah, yeah.
Just going back to Wigan 4, Newcastle 0. I thought Franco Di Santo's goal was, I'd go as far to say, one of the goals of the season.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, yeah. It's incredible technique. How dare he?
But on that train of thought, Suarez, one of the goals of the season, yeah, against Norwich City.
Not as good as Crouch's.
Brilliant goal.
Well,
it wasn't as good as Crouch's.
Do you not think?
It was a great goal.
The keeper should have had some say in that goal, I think. Or more of a say.
So you're going Crouch, unless there's an absolute blinder in the last.
Crouch's goal didn't touch the ground from goalkeeper to volley, and it was a volley from the corner of the penalty area.
Yeah, and so it was at full stretch.
If you say it like that.
they're both great goals.
I love the balls of the Suarez goal. You know, it's just to even dare to do that. Because he had Gerrard in loads of space. They could have done a sort of cross. Half 1-2 quite easily.
You can actually see Gerrard's body language changes as when Suarez shoots. He kind of lifts his head back as if he goes, "Ah!"
Yeah,
and he's like, "You're lucky."
Yeah,
because he tried to dink over the keeper, didn't he? He should have made it 3-0 earlier, Suarez. But
he was unplayable. He was at his very best against Norwich, completely unplayable. I didn't know what to do with him.
And he's a world class forward. Well, obviously, but when he's like that,
it was reminiscent of when they faced City and they just look at each other going, "What are we doing with this?" it's the same as Suarez. The difference. Norwich have stepped up. A lot of their players who've played at a lower level going into this season have stepped up admirably. 9 times out of 10 they've had an excellent season by their own standards. But it just shows you, when you've got the money to buy that sort of player, when he's on form, when he's on song, completely unplayable.
Norwich have clocked off a bit as well.
They're on the beach,
they don't look interested, do they? They're on holiday.
Didn't start Holt, that's what happened. Swansea though, a funny result for them. Obviously they've had a great season, can't take that away from them, but 4-1 was it, or 3-1?
Yeah, 4-1 up at one stage. 4-0 in the end.
Wolves with an uncharacteristic comeback. Wolves, they're always the same, isn't it? When teams go down, they've got nothing to play for.
The pressure's gone, isn't it?
Exactly.
So they can actually go out there and enjoy it.
It's like Manchester City, they haven't won the title, according to Mancini. Yeah. And so they've gone out
just
and
go out there and enjoy yourselves.
and they certainly did. So big scores are back, 4-4, and Chelsea certainly racked up a few against QPR. Torres with a hat trick.
They were magnificent, weren't they? Well, I think what was really impressive about Chelsea in that game in particular is the contrasting style compared to how they played against Barcelona and to Arsenal to a degree as well. It's, you know, Di Matteo's shown a real sort of dynamism to how he's having the team play. They've got a couple of different sort of modes of
sort
of tactics almost. So
they flip between them quite easily.
Yeah, they really do, because they just, it's almost like they turn into a big brick wall if they have to. But if, you know, they're like a transformer.
do we think Torres is back now?
Well, he certainly was good in that game.
His confidence is clearly back.
Yeah, that's right. 20 mil.
Yeah. I was thinking, I'd be so annoyed if I was a QPR fan, because I imagine Mark Hughes would have impressed upon this team, look, it's a massive, massive chance this is going to be after the Lord's Mayor show here. Mm. We could really spoil this party, because they're going to be deflated after the adrenaline come down of the achievement they've had in Barcelona. And we're fighting for our lives. Just get amongst it. And what is it, 30 seconds in, they can see the goal? I mean, devastated.
But that's your squad rotation, though, isn't it? Ferreira's playing right back. He's given Bosingo a run out centre back. I don't know why that is. Maybe because he thinks he might have to play the final centre back. We'll talk about that.
What about, looking at like teams that are almost down, Blackburn, not a shot on target or something?
Entire
match. Incredible.
Well, the thing is, with the Blackburn thing, you know, you need to win the game. You need to at least get a point. And there's no point setting up like that to the point where if you concede, you're effectively finished. Mm. Because the style of football they play, they didn't have a single shot on goal.
Shocking.
Steve Keane said after the game, people have written us before and we've bounced back. You haven't.
Yeah.
You're in the relegation zone still. You haven't
bounced
back, Steve.
You bounced up and down where you were sitting.
Not many games left, Steve. No.
They've really got to get a handle on this now.
I don't think you can bounce back in two or three games, can you?
Blackburn are at home to Wigan next, but they've got Chelsea away on the last day of the season.
Yeah, so I fear for them.
That's why that Tottenham game is so important.
Yeah. But Aston Villa, they've played themselves into relegation, haven't they? Certainly. I mean, blimey.
Yeah, I mean, McLeish, his reputation surely just in tatters forever now, isn't it?
He's gone either way.
Came to England thinking it might be quite a big deal because he'd done well at Rangers.
I like how you say came to England like he was overseas.
Well, you know, it was in a different country. Look, I mean, it's too easy to sort of bash the SPL as we do loads for fun.
McLeish,
he'll get his opportunity to manage at his level in the Championship.
He won't.
I'm the defender of the SPL on this show, and I'm going to do it now. McLeish, he had a good time at Hibs, obviously at Rangers as well, and he did pretty well for Scotland.
And he's now a Premier League relegation specialist.
So he's found his niche.
Well, you know.
But what about the man in the other dugout, Marcus?
What, Roy Hodgson?
Yeah, there's your link.
Not had much
yeah, you know, another...
What's
another,
he up to?
Another clean sheet.
What's he up to these days?
He's going to lead us to glory.
Is he?
He's going to lead us to Ukraine.
Well, otherwise known as glory.
Right, okay.
Just to describe Marcus in four words around this whole Hodgson Fringan thing, dog with two dicks.
I can't get enough of it.
A pig in Y Hodgson shit.
Yeah. I can't believe my luck. Yeah. I tell you,
Uncle Why, are you delighted, isn't you?
I am delighted.
Your little face.
20, 30 years in the making.
I was beating that drum in the late 90s. What, Keegan? Yeah. Roy looks as though he's... I mean, at the time of recording, it's nearly done. Very close to being done. But the media, most of the fans and players...
He won't survive the Euros. He'll be hounded out of town with pitchforks and...
Do you think after the first group game he'll be gone?
Well, the worst thing about all this is it's almost like... You know he's going to be chewed up and spat out by the media, over-pampered, egotistical players. Mm. He's just going to be completely left out to dry. That's the horrible thing about it, you know.
The project in its entirety should be... Working with the younger generation, even at 26, 27, like dealing with Wayne Rooney's like craziness on or off the pitch. That's not his job. It should be just dealing with Stuart Pearce and working with the younger set of players. It's ridiculous that anyone's got any sort
of course,
idea that we're going to get anything out of this next tournament.
This is, I think it's a good appointment with the FA. I mean, we did talk about Redknapp, and I don't think Redknapp would have been a bad appointment, of course. I mean, I think we talk about him being a short-termist. I think for the Euros, he would have given us a bit of a lift, one thing and another. But Hodgson, I think they're looking at the bigger game here, and I hope that's the case.
I think the case is simply that they won't have to pay any compensation for Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
Well,
there's that as well. But
it would have been about $10 million for Redknapp.
Well, I was going to say, it's interesting, isn't it? People say, well, I can't believe it's not Harry, but you don't know what's happened behind closed doors. You know, if the FA go to Daniel Levy and say, you know, as you say, Jim, we'd like to speak to Hodgson, well, you're not going to. That'll cost you $10 million or whatever.
Yeah. Right. And then they send Jamie anyway.
Yeah, but they're not going to suddenly announce, oh, Redknapp, we can't talk to him. They want to keep that quiet because then the next man they approach doesn't look as though it's, oh, well, he's second best.
Yeah.
And Levy doesn't want it all. I didn't want to talk people to talk to Redknapp because
especially
this thing's derailed us enough as it is. So you don't know what's gone on.
I think Levy would have been happy for Redknapp to go.
Do you think?
I think he'd have done a deal. For me, the way it's made me feel a little bit uncomfortable is the fact that people seem to be completely deriding what Hodgson's achieved.
Yeah.
And because he had a poor time at Liverpool for lots of reasons, and he was a part of the blame for that, but it wasn't completely down to him. But if you look at the sort of salient points, you've already brought one up, Jim, which is that he's going to be free for the FA to hire, which is a consideration. They spent a lot of money in Wembley and a lot of money in St George's Park. The other thing is he will take an interest in St George's
Park. That's the thing.
Redknapp has never really been interested, and I don't mean to, you know, sort of dig out Redknapp. This is a fact. Redknapp's never really been interested in the long term view of things. Especially more recently in his career. You could argue slightly at West Ham he was interested in bringing players through, but that's only because of Tony Carr's influence. Mm. He's not ever taken a real overly keen interest in that sort of thing. Also, he won't move to London. He likes to live on the south coast. Well, he commutes, so that's a consideration as well.
But is that not less of a problem for the national team than it is for Tottenham?
But I would argue
possibly. But he's an ambassadorial role, Jim. He needs to be in and around it as well, you know.
And also, like, you know, you get the feeling that Hodgson's, dare I say, a little bit of a harder worker. He's off the field.
Redknapp doesn't coach, mate.
I think you're right, and I think that was one of the things about Capello, wasn't it? That people just maybe, you know, and Sven and a couple of other England managers, they go around, watch a few games, enjoy London.
And to be honest,
whereas as Luke says, Hodgson will be up at the new school of excellence. He will be taking an interest. Yeah. He revolutionised the game. Well, maybe that's slightly strong, but he certainly had a huge influence in the development of the game in Sweden. He knows what it's like to get in the grassroots.
He sits on a lot of technical panels, that sort of thing. Yeah. By the way, also, just to finish up before you can, what's wrong with having Hodgson as an elderly statesman of the game, as someone who's been around, has experienced World Cups and international football,
European
and bringing someone through, much like they do in Germany, which we show you.
Well, I was about to say, Yogi Love. Biggest club he managed was Stuttgart. Okay, big club. He's won the German Cup and he won the Austrian Championship with Innsbruck. He's not a glowing CV to manage Germany.
Yeah.
One of, if not the most successful team, European team.
What's he won,
exactly.
With the greatest of respect to England, though, we're not Liverpool. We are West Brom. We are Fulham. We're a team full of shitty players who can overachieve if we try.
Yeah.
So, in that way, he's a great manager.
But we never try.
But someone made a glorious point on Twitter. Forgive me. Forget who it was. It was kind of like, what? So people are saying Hodgson's only achievements are taking, you know, a couple of average teams and doing good things about to them. England? That's it.
Exactly. I do wonder from Hodgson's point of view, though, because the Liverpool experience must still be quite fresh in his mind. And this is going to be that times a billion. Just wonder, would he want to put himself through all that again?
Well, obviously, he's up for it.
He has said on record, but he's not going to leave West Brom in then for a short-term job, is he?
No,
but what I'm saying, if he can get through the Euros without losing his mind, you know, I think we've got a decent chance at building something special. To be honest,
his position on it seems to have softened, because this on the you'd be crazy to take it sort of line. He has said in the past on record, Hodgson, ages ago, many many years ago, that you'd be mad to take that job. More recently, he said, you know, he's a proud Englishman, he'd like to do it.
That's right.
I hope the media don't chew him up and spit him out again, assuming he gets the job. If as Pete says, if he can get through the Euros, you know, get to the quarters and maybe be unlucky, then it can at least hopefully impress a sort of long-term mentality on the game.
Yeah.
And we're not Germany now, but there's no reason we can't produce players if we do it correctly in 10, 12, 15 years' time. As we mentioned after the World Cup in 2010, if we put the infrastructure there, hopefully St George's Park will be funded properly and won't be closed down again and that sort of thing. We may produce these players through in 10, 12, 15 years' time, and Hodgson can be a big part in their development. There's nothing wrong with that.
Last time we had a lovable uncle as England manager, it was Bobby Robson.
That's right.
Yeah. We all loved how that turned out.
Yeah, indeed.
Glorious defeat, again.
Yeah. But better than before.
It's like a comfort. It's like putting on an old jumper, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I did quite like what Henry Windsor said. He said, Roy Hodgson is a broadsheet man in a tabloid world.
That's quite nice.
So we wait with bated breath what the media and co will say about Hodgson when he is or looking like
baiting being the operative word, you know.
It's funny that Neil Ashton at The Sun said, I think he's at The Sun, tabloid journalist, said deadpan, not even joking, on a TV show last week. Someone asked about the England job and Redknapp, and this was before this Hodgson thing came out, and deadpan, he went, yeah, I can't believe the FA haven't employed the man the media want. It's like, it's not really about that though, is it? Yeah.
That's the thing that makes me laugh my head off. I've not met a single person. Maybe I speak to the wrong people.
You speak to the right people.
The right people.
Xbox Live. It's just Xbox Live, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's just like, I can't believe they haven't employed the people that the fans want. Who are these fans?
Yeah. I think
the hell?
I think most people,
fans in the last week.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do want Redknapp. But I think a lot of people thought it was a foregone conclusion because the media think they pick the manager.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the team. When McLaren was England manager, he said you can't drop Steven Gerrard, even though you want to, because he goes in there. You've got a, don't get me wrong, McLaren wasn't a great England manager, we know that, but he said you have a system, you line up. 20 minutes in, Gerrard gets a bit bored. I'll run over there. I'll run after the ball. And the whole thing gets pulled out. You can't drop Gerrard because the media will pan you and they will lose you your job quicker than you would yourself.
Well, this is it, isn't it? Because they sack the England manager. They think that they've got the right to appoint them
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. And that is one of the things that's really pleased me. It's a massive two fingers and up yours.
The big question is whether Hodgson can get the best out of Lampard and Gerrard in the middle. That's what we all want to hear.
Indeed. I want a back three.
I'm sitting waiting.
Dear. Back three with Zamora up front.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Left wing, Sammy Amiobi. He's only got his under-21s. Come on.
Yeah. Move this on, because he's got many.
Wonder what will happen if he wants John Terry as his captain. Be interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Right, so we have to move on to what's been going on in the rest of the English Football League. The Championship, Southampton are promoted.
They are.
At last.
Emphatic victory against a Coventry City team who played all their children.
Yeah. Well,
Nigel Atkins is a good man, I think.
Do you think?
Not bad for an ex-physio, is he?
Right,
that's true.
That's what he started off as. Yeah,
he looked genuinely drained and happy.
He really did.
He looked like he just wanted a nice beer and a sleep.
Well, look, all joking aside, they've been. I mean, along with Reading, who we went great guns. Southampton have been the second. In the top two teams in the division,
they deserve it, absolutely. Yeah, but watching the West Ham game was very strange because they were winning and yet it felt just utterly like they were losing.
They've only got themselves to blame, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have. They just took the foot off the. You know, they just. you know, they took their eye off the ball almost just too often. So a lot of silly draws and they that should have been wins.
They started to get sort of a bit stuck in the mud around at home over that period of time, and the fans were on their back a little bit.
What happens at Upton Park?
Yeah, apparently so. They beat Hull City, who I think Nick Barmby might have been sacked. He's certainly been suspended.
No, he's been suspended for giving, like, did you hear the interview?
Innocuous.
He was just sort of going, we need investment. Bottom line is, I couldn't sign a striker when I needed to sign a striker. That's the bottom line. It's just one of those things. We need to be backed up as we're trying to do on the field. And it was just now he's been suspended.
But didn't he say people need to start doing what they say they're going to do or something like that? It was a little bit snotty, but it wasn't sackable.
Yeah,
but
you think of the ego of a football club owner.
Mourinho at Hull City would last 5 minutes. Put it that way.
Yeah, I think their fortunes would be slightly different. Get yourself on the pitch, Barmby.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you playing up to?
I was going to say, I think there's still a bit of life there. It's West Ham versus Cardiff, isn't it? 3rd v. 6th.
Yep.
And then the players from Birmingham versus Blackpool. Who do we fancy, just quickly?
Birmingham.
Birmingham. Pete?
I would like to see. Yeah, Birmingham.
I'd like to see Blackpool do it.
Right? I'd like to see Blackpool as well, back up. You can guarantee that
have you seen Hughton's hair? It's magnificent. It's a beautiful
hair. Is that right?
It's gone proper black and white now.
Oh, it has.
Right down the middle. Jim was obsessed with it for a bit, but now it has gone brilliant.
Oh, he's a good man, Hughton. Actually, I wouldn't mind seeing Birmingham back in just for his sake. Now let's go to League One, where Preston drew 2-2 with Charlton. Charlton, I thought we were going to get the 100 points. They've still got a chance. They've got Pete Donaldson's Hartlepool, otherwise known as Hartlepool, on the last day of the season. But it was nice to see Preston with their 90th minute equaliser scored by Graham Alexander in his last game before his retirement. A fitting end to a great career.
Delighted, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Such a beautiful moment.
A nice free kick as well.
His 100,000th game, I think it was.
The crowd went absolutely mad. Yeah. I've never seen, because there was a great bit of YouTube footage of someone's filming it from the crowd, and it's like an earthquake. Everyone's going completely mad.
I love crowd footage. Yeah, it's the best thing ever.
It goes on for like a full minute as well. And at one point, the guy just turns around and films himself, and he's just smiling really broadly, and he turns it back again.
Yeah, he wants to get in on it.
Yeah.
Sheffield United drop point. I said this, Stevenage.
I said Wednesday would struggle at Brentford, who were good at home, and Sheffield United should beat Stevenage, and the opposite happened.
It has Wednesday. More Stradamus. United one game left. Last day, Sheffield Wednesday home to Wickham, and Sheffield United away to Exeter City. Wickham and Exeter already down, along with Chesterfield and Rochdale, so you would fancy Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, they're a point ahead anyway, aren't they?
So that's what I'm saying. So you would fancy it.
Wickham are called the Chair Boys.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Always makes me laugh.
Chair Boys, yeah.
The Chair Boys.
Yep.
Rubbish.
Yep.
League Two.
Shrews.
Friend of the Ramble, Murray James.
Unbeaten at home all season. It's not a bad season ticket, is it?
Wonderful scenes there. And of course, Swindon beat Port Vale 5-0.
And Decano finally cracked a smile.
Did he?
Yeah.
He predicted it a little while ago, didn't he? That his team would win. I think they were fourth when he predicted it.
I have won this league.
Next season we will win it again. And sad to see Macclesfield were relegated with Hereford and Barnet. Are the only two contenders left for that last relegation spot.
It's not contenders, very nice job,
maybe not the right word.
Well, yeah. And of course, before we leave the United of Kingdom, we've got to mention Celtic beating Rangers 3-0 in style.
Lovely diving header as well for their opening goal.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, not quite wrap up the season yet, but certainly they would have enjoyed that in a great year.
An extra kick in the balls to Rangers. That's what that was.
That's
Celtic fans unveiled a massive Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse banner. It was massive. It's terrifying as well. Saying that they're coming for you or something like that. It's awful to see.
Rangers can't afford banners.
Can we recycle that?
You finished with that? Right, off to La Liga, where Real Madrid are on the brink of the title. They beat Sevilla 3-0, and Barcelona beat Rayo Vallecano 7-0, proving that they're not crap. But both teams went out in the Champions League semi-finals. Let's have some Champions League semi-final chat, gentlemen. Chelsea, unbelievable. I know it was last week, but we've got to talk about it.
Magnificent, wasn't it?
It was incredible.
With 10 men. Bizarre decision from Terry. Firstly, during the game, Jeff Shrews went down to talk to him. We'll come back to what he did after the game, I'm sure. And he said that John Terry had said, it was just something about, you know, he went to run in one direction or something weird like that, and it was an accident, and I'm not that sort of player,
not
blah, blah, blah.
Player.
And Gary Neville and Martin Tyler.
It was worse than that, mate. He said, Alexis Sanchez checked his run. I was off balance on the wrong foot. And so I and he even said something like,
none of that happened.
I was absolutely like, confused why I'd been sent off. I couldn't believe it had happened. He needed a replay to show himself what he had done.
This explains a lot about John Terry.
Oh no, he's a fucking liar. That's what it
was. Gary Neville said at the time, no, he's going to have to revise that afterwards. Yeah. I thought it was great.
I've
just
tried
calling
stuff
him out
like
on
that.
It
don't work.
That was class, isn't
it? Yeah, he really is. I mean, he's been a highlight of the season, really. But Terry after the game was like, oh, well, I've no complaints. I've seen it again. Like, you did it! You were there!
To be fair, I've seen the replay. It does look bad.
No, but the thing is,
why did you see a replay?
It didn't go.
You should know. You were in it.
You tried to do him.
Yeah. He didn't go so far to say, like, I've seen it again, no complaints. He starts off by sort of saying, I lean back. I did the similar sort of thing. I just put my leg up a little bit because he was leaning into me. And it's like, no, you didn't.
The great thing about Terry is he's such an alpha male. Mm. I don't necessarily mean this in a bad way. I mean, it's up to people's opinions what they think of that. But he makes everything all about him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not only did he, even when he apologised, and then later on in the programme notes for the QPR game, he said, oh, well, I'm man enough to know when I've made a mistake, and I've made a mistake, so I'll admit it. Yeah. You know, I don't mind, I'll say it. You know, and it's like, it's all about him, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, stop boasting about having been a dick. How are you even doing that?
Yeah, well, I don't. It's exactly what it feels like he's doing, but at the same time, more seriously, it actually detracts from what was an excellent performance by Chelsea.
That's right.
And all those other players on the pitch who ran their hearts out and beat.
My goodness, yeah.
Most people would agree, certainly in the top two teams in world football, mm-hmm. and they'd beat them in their own backyard with 10 men. Aggregate, do you know what I mean?
They didn't lose the game. I forgot that after. Yeah. I thought, my goodness, they've gone through an away goal. I was like, no, they came back from 2-0 down to draw 2-2 with 10 men.
That was a fantastic goal from Ramirez as well.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Wonderful goal. Didier Drogba checking Danny Alves runs. I just thought football's gone crazy.
Didn't they have about 20% possession or something like that?
Yeah, it was really tiny. I know I made, because of the Champions League spot, I did make the same noise that Gary Neville made when Torres got it.
Drogba was so important to them in those sort of games, because defensively he's an absolute colossus.
He's a monster.
But the funny thing was about the Torres goal was he picked up the ball, and I, like I'm sure most of the population, got sucked in and was supporting Chelsea. and I was thinking, hoof it, get rid. Yeah. And he tried to jinx in between the two players, and he lost it, and it went back into the Chelsea box. And I thought,
what are you doing?
You idiot.
Yeah.
And actually, he then doesn't try to get back.
Which is why he's in that position.
And he's probably gone, well, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, but...
All right, then.
But Marcus, at one point, around that sort of goal, Barcelona were playing with, like, six midfield players and four strikers. They weren't playing any defenders.
Well, Chelsea were playing...
We only lined up with three to start with.
Yeah. Chelsea were kind of playing, like, what, is it a 6-3?
But it was a 10.
We did touch on it a bit last week, and it sounded a bit churlish, but I think it's proven in one way to be true, where Barcelona, they will not resort to lumping it. They will not resort to long shots. They will not resort to anything different. And because of their small squad, and because they're used to playing in a certain way, they come unstuck against a hugely organised defence. And we've seen it happen against Inter.
When Inter
beat them as well.
The thing is with Inter, though, you've got Walter Samuel and Lucio, centre-backs, right? That's tough. But Bosingwa was playing centre-back.
But they know they're never going to have to deal with a header. So you can set up your team like that. You know, you can set up your team with 12 dwarfs if you want to. 11 dwarfs, sorry.
I know what you're saying, but therefore, for a team that's used to a Premier League style, mm-hmm. where you've got to keep checking runners and watching, and oh my goodness, the mental concentration would be enough to just reduce you.
The fitness levels of Chelsea's players are among the best in the Premier League, though, so if anyone's going to be equipped to deal with that, it's them. And, you know, they've incredibly sort of been criticised for it being, like, anti-football and stuff like that. You have to do that against Barcelona.
You absolutely have to. You're down to 10 men. What are you meant to do? Play, like, a 3-3-3 or something?
It doesn't detract from the achievement.
It's not at all. It's almost... The way Barcelona play, because I saw a stat the other day, the last time they had less possession than their opposition was, like, 2008, something like that. It's hundreds and hundreds of games since that happen. It's almost like they play a different sport and you just have to adapt to it.
That's right.
And that's exactly what Chelsea did. That was brilliant.
There's nothing wrong with stopping a team and trying to hit them on the break, which is effectively what Chelsea did. Mm. They didn't even mean to try and hit them on the break because they felt like they didn't need to at the time, but they ended up doing it with Torres. Mm. You know, it was a really interesting game to watch.
And of course, Real Madrid lost to Bayern.
Just before you go on to Real Madrid, though, in the interest of balance, it is worth saying that Messi hit the bar with a penalty and hit the post.
He did, yeah.
And
then
on another day, that's a different game. Well, and they missed a hatful of chance in the first leg as well.
What I was going to say, Chelsea are missing a few players, Ivanovic being one of them. That was announced on live television.
Yeah, by Shreves.
By Jeff Shreves.
Yeah.
Ramble favourite.
It's almost like he enjoyed it as well.
Why have you got your hands down your trousers, Shreves? No reason.
Why are you turning up on Christmas Day, Shreves, and pulling your fake beard off in front of my children and saying something about Santa not being real?
Take us through the story. Santa is real, by the way, if any kids are listening.
Ivanovic, of course, it was the post-match interview. He's ecstatic after enjoying one of the greatest moments of his career. And Jeff Shreve says, "Yeah, you did get booked, didn't you?" And he's like, "Yeah." Well, that means you're out of the final.
You know that, don't you?
What was that?
He did say that.
I'm going to burn you with my cigarette.
Yeah, just you see him break. You see, he didn't know, did he? He said, "Yeah." And then you see it dawn on him what that means. Obviously concentrating so much, he's not even thought about it, which is incredible, really. And it was just horrible, heartbreaking to see a grown man just have to just stand there and take all that in.
Roberto, your parents have just died. Does that put the result in perspective?
You know, you're adopted, don't you? You're adopted. I thought that Ivanovic looked half like he was looking at Shreve going, "Who is this guy?"
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't look like a delegate for UEFA. Why is he telling me this?
He's such an arsehead.
I'll see you tonight when I piss on you in your dreams.
Yeah.
Horrendous piece of work. Once again, he's proved himself to be. Real Madrid went out on penalties to Bayern. The biggest surprise of the whole night for me was Philipp Lahm missing a penalty.
Yeah. He's a monster for that, isn't he? You know, sometimes you get a word or a phrase that will stick in your head late at night, and like it just keeps popping up and you can't sleep properly, and that's part of it, right? Anyone ever get that?
No.
I get that sort of thing quite a lot. I had this with Manuel Neuer's saves from Ronaldo and Kaká. Just couldn't stop thinking about them.
Yeah,
they were
brilliant.
So good. They just sort of kept popping into my head.
He's thinking, I've saved penalties from £150 million of talent there.
But the difference between him and...
I deserve my final.
The difference between him and Casillas was just like, Casillas seemed hunched when they were about to take the penalty. Neuer was just like, hands up.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't get it anywhere near the middle.
It looks massive.
If I hit anywhere near the middle, he's saving it.
Once again, it goes back to the Germans and penalties. They're the absolute experts.
The highlight of that game for me was Bayern scored their first goal. It was Robin, wasn't it? Scored their first goal, and they were celebrated over by sort of near the corner flag. And Ribery and Robin have got this thing between them. Basically, no one likes Robin, no one likes Ribery, and they don't like each other. Right?
But they're the best two players.
Yeah,
probably.
And then Robin scores, and they're all going to have a celebration. Ribery, I don't know if you watched it or saw it at the time, legs it over to the celebration, grabs Schweinsteiger, spins him round, starts having a massive go at him, and the Schweinsteiger almost says,
"You're supposed to be my friend."
Yeah, but Schweinsteiger almost says, like in German, "Oi, can we do this in a minute?" Because we're celebrating a goal at the moment.
We just scored in the semi-final.
I don't speak German, I'm not sure if he's saying that, but it looks like he's saying it, and they all just drop back. It's just a bizarre time to bring
unusually
it up.
Petty from any German.
But did you say Puyol did that similar thing during a celebration in the at the weekend?
Yeah, when Barca beat Rayo Vallecano, I can't remember which goal it was, the fifth goal or something like that. Thiago Alcantara and who else was it? Dani Alves started this elaborate sort of dancing celebration. And not only was it unbefitting because it looked a little bit like it was taking the piss out of Vallecano, which is a bit poor.
Yeah.
And also, they've just lost the league, effectively.
Yeah, you shouldn't be celebrating.
And Puyol marauded over there, grabbed them both, told them off like a school teacher. And they both, like, it was brilliant the way they did it. They both sort of looked at the floor, sort of like trotted back, like they were saying sorry.
I would not want a furious Puyol running at me.
Furious Puyol, good band.
Awful cocktail.
of course, as Jim just reminded me, Pep Guardiola.
Oh yeah. What a week for news it's been. We forgot about that.
It really has, in the Ramble 2 hour special.
Well, it almost taps into what we were saying earlier about creating a legacy and a continuity thing as management, and Villanova's going to take over now, and Villanova's only been there as long as Guardiola has.
This is what we would love to see in England. The next guy that comes in, it's already set up for him.
I want to see that the lady on the Chelsea bench take over from Di Matteo.
Is that because you're a bloody bloke?
I'm a lad and I enjoy banter and like reading nuts and things.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
But it's interesting what Guardiola said, and he's always been very pointedly only signed 1 year contracts.
That's right.
And he said, I remember him saying it at the start of his tenure, actually, saying that, you know, he only sees it as a 3 or 4 year job because the pressure is so intense.
Yeah, well, he's reiterated that now because he said it's for that exact reason. He's losing his hair. He's like, so he's aged a hell of a lot. I know he's a smooth looking man anyway, so you don't really notice it so much, but he really, really has clearly. Those lines in his head are not going anywhere.
Wasn't he sort of saying that it was. You know, there's only so many times you can tell the same players the same things.
Well, that's right. I think, you know, he's won everything. Everything. Apparently he also said that he listened to our profile of Bella Gutman and he was like, 3 or 4 years, that's it.
Yeah, it's too many.
Well, I mean, you look at Ferguson and Wenger. and they're pretty, you know, there's not many like them anywhere around the world.
But
you know,
you'd argue you don't that there's get more that many turnover with those squads though as well though. But to what Barcelona
the point is
that, you know, those two are just weird. They're anomalies. You know, it is an incredibly high pressure
situation. I think
situation.
There's more to it than that. I think the key difference between Ferguson and Guardiola is that Ferguson grew with the club. Whereas Guardiola came in, they were already at a very high level under Rijkaard.
Well, people forget Rijkaard's influence.
Yeah.
Huge in the recent history of Barcelona.
So it'll be it'll be interesting to see how Villanova does, but I mean, Guardiola seems to think that, you know, that everything's in place for him to carry on as they were, really. But he's got a big job on his hands, Villanova. I mean, they're not going to win the title this season. Yeah. Mourinho's probably going to stay at Madrid, he reckons, now, because he'll want to have a go at winning.
And look at the monster that Mourinho has, you know, given birth to in trying to compete with what Barcelona have become.
It's interesting because a lot of Spanish journalists have said that since Mourinho took over and really turned the screw on Barcelona and It upped the pressure on Guardiola, and he was becoming a lot different in press conferences. He was like being quite snappy and sarcastic, and he even swore a few times, which he never used
to
do.
That's right.
And it really took
his
toll.
Mourinho, he just does that, doesn't he?
He knows how to do that.
He basically drags them down to their level, and I think Guardiola probably thought, I'm just on the brink of that now.
He'll be back now. He'll be back. Not now, but he'll be back at some point.
Definitely. Wasn't Balaguer sort of on Sky Sports going there? And he was asked, so what are the rest of the Spanish press saying about Pep Guardiola leaving Barcelona? He goes, I don't know, I'm breaking the story.
Yeah. So good.
So up yours. Yeah, was it? It's funny how like a load of hacks in this country said, I don't know what the big fuss is about. And it's like the biggest club in the world at the moment.
You know what the thing is,
pressure. Oh, I'm sure his bank balance sorts the pressure out. Well, it doesn't actually, because it's a completely separate thing. What are you talking about?
Can't stand that.
So short-sighted, isn't it?
We wish
him all the best. Hopefully he'll be back in England, because he's a big fan of English football, so hopefully he'll come and manage in the Premier League.
I think he's going to take a season off, isn't he? Well, I think he really deserves a season off.
Incredible. We've also got to quickly say Athletic Bilbao into the Europa League final against Atletico Madrid.
It's hard to fit everything in these days, isn't it?
It really is. But it was
business end.
Yeah. An all-Spanish final. We thought it was going to be two all-Spanish finals, but the boys in
Chelsea
blue
ruined it.
Didn't they just? Right, let's go to Serie A, where Antonio Cassano scored his first goal since coming back.
Magical.
Ibra looks like a new man as well. Not that Ibra's been underperforming, but he seems to really play well with Cassano. He likes playing with him as well.
They've missed a little bit of bite up front.
They're probably from
really
the same planet.
Definitely. He is a goal and two assists, Cassano. I mean, hopefully he can get into the Italian squad for the Euros. That would be absolutely fantastic.
Nocerino's goal was incredible.
Yeah.
It's so
good.
He twisted everyone all over the place, ran from deep.
Engine room.
Yeah.
Juve won 4-0 though, and they have there's only a few games left of Serie A. Juve have got a fairly straightforward run in Milan, still have to play Inter, so it's looking like it could well be Juve's Scudetto, but you never know.
Who knows? The first time in like 300 years that Zlatan hasn't won the league he's played in.
I think 301. Yeah. Also, while we're in Italy, Fabio Capello has said he wants to coach for another couple of years. He said, I love London. I prefer to coach in the Premier League. I would only return to Italy for something really tasty.
That means I would like to manage Chelsea, doesn't
it? Yeah. Did you see the Udinese Lazio game?
Yeah.
Oh, at the end.
For those listeners who didn't see it.
You see Di Natale's goal before you get another?
That's a great goal.
Great spurt and volleys on this side.
Di Natale and Cassano up front for Italy.
God, that is a polar opposites there, isn't it? It'd be brilliant.
Di Natale, right, considering not that many people who don't really pay attention to Italian football, he's not a player whose name transcends Italian football.
That's
is
right.
He? 160 goals in 8 seasons at Udinese.
Get off that and stay at home.
Yeah, he's got to be out there. But anyway, the Udinese-Lazio game. Udinese were 1-0 up, as Pete said, Di Natale scored. And the Lazio keeper went up to try and get a last-minute equaliser for a corner for Lazio. And it broke down. The ball sort of was cleared. And an Udinese player ran down the line. And when he got over the halfway line with it, you can hear it on the telly.
You can.
This whistle goes.
Yeah.
Right?
Like a full-time whistle.
Yeah, but you think it's over. But and the Lazio players will stop. The Udinese guy carries on, nips in, and scores into an open net.
A lovely finish.
And the referee counts it.
Outside of the right foot.
Glorious finish.
I don't know how he squeezed it. He still had a lot of dough, to be fair. But yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was mad. And there's a massive dust up at the end.
But it was
goal stands, 2-0.
But the thing is, though, it was
goal difference for Lazio really counts as well, though, because they're all on level on points.
Well, they're racing for the third Champions League spot, aren't they? But yeah, they weren't happy.
There's a phantom whistler at Newcastle that chips in every now and again.
Is it you?
Surely they must be able to dig him out. Unless he moves every...
Well, stool. If it annoys your own fans, you'd sort of go, well, you clearly did that.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're throwing your whistles.
Yeah. Ah, that could be. Thistle whistles.
Could be a Roger Whittaker.
Indeed. In France, they had the French Cup, and Lyon beat third division side Gavilli 1-0, unfortunately.
It's a crap goal to concede.
Yeah, the keeper let himself
down. Like, nah, I've got to get this. I've got to beat the hero now.
Ah, it's such a shame. Such a shame. But don't worry, the French Cup will be back. No doubt there'll be an under 16 side in the
final. I'm not exaggerating here. There are about 74 rounds of that cup.
It's great, it really
is. It's like 7,000 teams. I know we say it a lot, but it is amazing.
Next season's already started.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Lyon's first trophy in 4 years, I think. Yeah. Which is really surprising. Mm. Recently it was St George's Day, as maybe a few of you might know. It wasn't just St George's Day in England, because the patron saint, St George, is also a patron saint of a number of countries, in case you don't know, just to name some: Georgia, Egypt, Bulgaria, Catalonia, Ethiopia, Greece, India, Iraq, Lithuania, Palestine, Portugal, Serbia, Ukraine, and Russia.
So it gets just, around a bit.
It's not just, you know, Mr England,
lot
as
of
old
dragons,
St George.
Yeah,
I missed one out, though. Because Romania also celebrates St George's Day. Guess who was celebrating it? Gigi Becali, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I love these bits.
And he said, he was quoted as saying, "I'm glad God made me so loving. My ability to love is just like Messi's talent. I was born like this, full of love for all. I only ask one thing of St George, that he gives me strength to inspire a win against Rapid. Please, let me beat those gypsies."
Bloody
hell. So he doesn't love them then.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible, yeah. So Rapid Bucharest and Stoia, I think that's this week, so hopefully he got his wish. Well, actually, I'll probably want Rapid to win after that.
That's one of my pet hates, the whole idea that, you know, how amazing St George is. Because if you think about it, right, look, St Andrew, feared by Roman government, executed in Greece, you know, pretty big deal. St Patrick, son of a Roman British army officer, sold into slavery when he was young, reportedly killed all the snakes in Ireland. St David, helped bring Christianity to Wales. St George, I killed a big dragon.
Stabbed him right in the face.
Didn't happen, St George, so don't worry about it.
Just say you killed an animal that actually exists. Then more people will believe
you. Exactly, I killed a big horse.
Yeah, but
horse.
At the same time, he's probably looking around going, "Well, did you see any dragons? No. Killed them all, didn't I?"
They're all dead, yeah. Stabbed them right in the head.
And now it's time for Going for Gold.
Going for Gold. Gold.
Get your clues.
Would you like your clues?
Nakata last week, that haunts me.
Yeah, it was out of left field.
Haunts me, because I really like Nakata as well.
Surprising amount of... he was on the front cover of FIFA once, as I recall.
Yeah.
Makes it even worse.
Do you know he was on the cover of FIFA in Italy? Pazzini doing the pazzo. The mad pazzo eyes.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Easy.
Right then.
Stop.
Right.
Pazzini.
Right, it's a little bit earlier than the Premier League, if you would allow me, gentlemen. So... played in England, so don't worry.
I'm not sure what Skull not to make of this.
So it's a little bit earlier than the Premier League?
Yeah, he never played in the Premier League.
Okay, that's first clue.
Yeah.
I never played in the Premier League.
Stop. Pete Donaldson.
Stop. Pete Donaldson, thank you. On my birthday. Thank you.
Tim Lovejoy.
Not Tim. Tim Old. Twit Pick Lovejoy, no.
He pretty much practically did, because all his mates are Premier League footballers.
Oh, is that
and
right?
And if they're not, how come they are?
Okay.
Right, first clue. I won the Golden Boot with 25 goals in my second season in England.
No, I'm not. Nothing.
Good.
Stop.
Go on, Jim.
Gary Lineker.
No. The next year, I won PFA Young Player of
Stop.
The Year.
Andy Gray.
No!
I knew it was Gray. I nearly said Gray. I thought he's trying to do us here.
What do you mean? At 1.5 million, I was the English record transfer. I spent 6 months under David Pleat as a reserve team coach.
Slow driver.
I won 20 caps for my country with 7 goals. I wasn't selected for the 1978 World Cup squad. My middle name is Mullen, and I ended my career at Cheltenham Town.
In disgrace, I think.
Yeah. To give the clues, and I thought, I'm answering.
And he has, and I'm dead, and I got it right, and I know I'm dead. And I hate seeing that.
Top draw.
Thank you for your email, lady.
Let's have an email, Jim.
Yeah, okay. Ramblers, just thought I would drop you an electronic lol, as I recently met another rambler under unusual circumstances. I'm a teacher in the northeast and recently left work to see one of my year 10 students getting ready for a football game against a nearby school. I called out to him, "How are you feeling about tonight then?" And he replied with an instantly recognisable, "Sir, we're going to stuff this gypsy back up its mother." Recognising this as a Gigi Becali quote, I laughed and asked him where he'd heard the phrase before. We realised we were ramblers in common. Now, he will often fire out famous and memorable quotes from the show when I see him around the corridors, and the lols flow freely. I just hope he doesn't leave a lesson one day by saying, go fuck yourself, as this would not be smiled upon in school, regardless of how funny I might find it. That is from Paul Staveley. Thank you, Paul, and young man, what's your language in future?
Bridging the teacher... pupil divide.
I'm not sure how I feel about children seeing the word gypsy, but never mind.
Well, take it up with Gigi, mate.
Yeah.
Got an email for you guys. Hello, you ramblers, says Nigel Cousins. Just looking at the games today and discovered that in the Suomen Cup, the Finnish National Cup competition, there is a match between Atlantis and FC Jazz. Lovely.
Wow, so Atlantis is in Finland, turns out.
That sounds amazing. Well, Big Roy would know about all about that.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Did you see the young lad in Finland recently? I forget his name, Joel something.
Oh, 17-year-old Hattrick or something.
The perfect hat-trick in like 3.5 minutes.
He was on trial at Liverpool, wasn't he?
He was earlier on in the year.
Too cheap, clearly.
Get him back.
Liverpool have just signed Rasmus Elm, Swedish midfield player as well.
What a name.
David Elm's brother.
It is, Fulham, yeah, that's right, yeah. £8 million, I think.
Good.
And now it's time for a profile. That means it's profile time, ladies and gentlemen. Who have we got this week? We've got a man who goes by the name of Archibald Gemmell.
Oh, Scott Gemmell, you say? Welcome into the Deep Windass Hall of Fame, Scott Gemmell.
Anyway, you're getting there, Scott.
Long time coming.
It's Scott with one T as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
A semblance of your DNA will be in the Deep Windass Hall of Fame, Scott.
It's Archie Gemmell. Good people.
Stocky, Marcus.
Short and stocky. Bald.
Train Spotting's Archie Gemmell.
I haven't even felt this good since Gemmell scored in 78 or something.
Set in Scotland, Train Spotting everyone.
Hey.
Nasty. He was born on the 24th of March, 1947.
Oh, 20 years before the summer of love.
Easy one, bruv.
Summers of love.
Smashed the sperm race.
Smashed it to bits.
Yeah. Arguably scored the greatest ever goal for the Scotland national team.
And are we going to talk about it now? Or
who's arguing?
There's been a few.
Are we basically...
James McFadden against France.
There have literally been a few. Are we just putting this goal in?
Stop it. Stop it all of you vagabonds. He did achieve a hell of a lot more than that.
I mean,
it's one of those things that dwarfs his other achievements,
yeah,
except
it really
because
does.
It was so much.
Which were actually really good.
Yeah.
Double league winner, was he?
Yeah.
Well, we'll come on to that. A fiery little Scotsman.
Yes.
Evident from an early age.
A superb engine.
Apparently, when he was a boy, someone took his football off him and he shot them with an air rifle.
Ashley Cole, way ahead of his time.
That's true. So when he was in his teens, he had interest from the old firm clubs, but despite this, he signed for his local team, St Mirren, at just 16 years old. And in his first season with the senior side at the age of 17, he won the Player of the Year award. Incredible achievement. The following season, though, he was plagued by injuries, which is a bit of a shame.
Oh, yeah.
But he does boast an odd little bit of trivia, because in 1966 he became the first official substitute used in Scottish football.
Is it not more defined than that? Isn't it the first substitute used for tactical reasons? Because I think there were people replaced for injuries before that, but it's the first time it happened for a tactical reason.
Right, okay, yeah. Right.
We need a small Scotsman.
One for the beards.
Yeah. Oh, he is, Gemmell.
Michael Cox will love that.
Yeah.
Probably get a blue plaque for that.
Yeah. Could do.
He finished, I think this is correct, finished the season as St Mirren's top goal scorer with 5. They were, of course, relegated. he signed for Preston, North End, and this was his first taste of English football. And he did pretty well there, playing in the old second division. Preston didn't fare too well, and at the end of his time at Preston North End, they were relegated as well, so it wasn't... His clubs he was playing for weren't having the best of times. But while he was playing at Preston, a certain Peter Taylor, Brian Clough's right-hand man, assistant at Derby at the time, noticed the young Scot and was impressed. Gemmell, he was a great passer of the ball, very energetic, tireless midfield, brought a lot of energy and was very, very tough.
Couldn't knock him off the ball.
No, absolutely. That brilliant sort of low centre of gravity that players of that size have.
Well, at Derby, there's a goal he scored. I think it was at Derby. Might have been at Forest, which you'll come on to, so yeah. I'll wait.
Okay.
Go on.
Dry.
Yeah, that's right. Everton were the champions at the time when Gemmell, when he was leaving Preston North End, showed a bit of interest. And when Brian Clough heard this, obviously Peter Taylor was famous for picking out players. Mm. Clough trusted him inexplicably.
And they went and signed him without even asking the chairman.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, not Clough. Inexplicably, implicitly.
Implicitly, yeah. Forgive me, yes.
Believe this, Peter. What happened to him?
Yeah, I can't believe I trust you again. It's inexplicable.
Oh. I've inexplicably won the league.
Thank goodness you're all here. Otherwise, I'd be very lonely. So Clough heard about Everton's interest.
I love this story.
Yeah, and so he drove to Preston and met Gemmell. Well, he said met him. He went round his house and expressed his desire to sign him. But wee Archie Gemmell said no to Clough. So Clough said, "Right, I don't care. I'm gonna sleep outside your house in my car until you say you've got to sign." And Gemmell's wife said, "No, you can't do that. Ridiculous. Come in and stay." In. And so the following morning, Gemmell agreed over breakfast to sign for Derby County.
Do you reckon as soon as his wife said, "Come in and stay," Clough was like, "I've got her."
Yeah, yeah.
Laurent Muldoon in Jurassic Park.
When you hear stories about Clough wanting something, you just need to just stop the story there and go, just give him what he wants. It's he's like the black gas in Lost or Death. Like, there's no giving in.
No.
If he's got his hand on you,
get it over with.
You're gone. Yeah. Gone.
Just accept it.
I want
you're part of
man.
Something bigger now.
These are good eggs, Mrs. Gemmell. I'm enjoying my breakfast.
Yeah. Make a good egg, you do. Right, you began
notable eggs.
Life at Derby in 1970. Didn't wait too long before he won the league there. In 1971-72 season, I think it was. That was when they went to Mallorca on holiday before the league was even won. And I think it was a telephone call. Yeah, you won the league, brilliant. And off they went to party. The first time he ever tasted alcohol, incidentally. Mm. He was a teetotaler.
Not the last playing for Clough.
Wow.
Actually, there's a story about Clough used to always get his players to relax before games. And he would if they stayed in hotels before big games, he would go and go to the bar and order whatever it was, 20 beers.
Yeah.
I think one time he ordered a load of bottles of champagne. And he went as far as to, even the players who'd already gone to bed in their hotel room, he thought he knew in his head they're never going to sleep because they're so nervous. So he went and got them all up systematically. So look, you're not asleep. You know you're not asleep. Come down. You're not in trouble. Have a glass of champagne. Let's have a relax. Mm. And he said that Gemmell was famously not that much of a drinker up until a point. I don't know about him later in life, but and he said that he'd always have a glass or two of champagne, and it worked. You know, it worked. I don't know if it worked now.
It was a different game. And he, in 1971, he got his first of 43 Scotland caps. They won the league again at Derby in 74-75. By this time, Clough had gone. I think Tommy Docherty was boss. And Docherty and Gemmell never saw eye to eye. I think
physically.
Well,
because Gemmell was tiny.
Well, Doherty had made Gemmell the scapegoat for a defeat by England once upon a time when he was playing for Scotland.
I think Gemmell wanted to play for Clough again, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, there was that as well. But with the Scotland business, you know, because he was made the scapegoat, it led to Gemmell not going 3 years without playing for Scotland. And he missed out on the 1974 World Cup as a result. Mm. Gemmell was very bitter about that, as
their
you can
loss.
Imagine. Yeah, it really was. So I'm not too sure of the ins and outs, but... But Gemmell given a bit of hard treatment there. He was sold to Forest, where he was, of course, reunited with Brian Clough. And he was instrumental in that great Forest side of the late 70s, winning the league and league cups. But he suffered the biggest disappointment, I'd imagine, of his career when Brian Clough left him out of the 1979 European Cup final starting 11.
And I think because of the way the rules were back then, it means he doesn't have a medal.
No, he did get a medal.
Oh, he got one in the end.
He was
okay.
On the bench.
But that season or the season before, he scored an amazing goal against Arsenal.
Right.
Arsenal are on the attack. Sorry, Jim. I think he might be Pat Rice. He robs just outside the Forest area, and he nicks a ball off him, gives it, and he absolutely bombs it.
Yeah, like, that was his trademark.
You just
wasn't
see
it?
Him. You know, the camera's obviously moving left to right, and he's just going miles faster than the camera. Comes with the shot, disappears out of shot again.
Yeah,
on the end of it and scores. You can't believe what's happened.
The director in the gallery is desperately trying to keep up.
It's also
like
funny
a football game on the Spectrum. Where there's no scrolling; it just went off the screen, and then you appeared on the left side of the other screen.
But the best thing about it is now, when you see players do that, you think, "Oh, they're athletes." He was like balding.
Yeah.
yeah. Socks rolled down, yeah. Massive clumpy football boots, still just completely legging it.
Isn't obviously fits on champagne.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's a glorious player from those days, you know, very iconic looking from them. But yeah, so back to the European Cup final disappointment. He picked up an injury a few weeks previous to the final itself, and Clough had said, you know, you'll only get in the team if you're fit. Now, 10 days prior to the final, he was back in full training, and on the day of the final, before they left for the stadium, Clough announced the team, and when Gemmell realised he wasn't starting, he shouted in front of all the players, you know, you must be joking, he told me if I was fit I'd be playing, and I am. And Clough just turned around and went, shut up, you're out. And he was absolutely gutted, as you could imagine. And he said Clough even humiliated him in front of everybody by asking, as they were just about to get on the bus, he went, Archie, can you go and fetch my shaving gear from my room, I've left it up there. It's really odd.
That is weird.
Yeah, and then so by the time Gemmell went and got it and came back downstairs, everyone was on the bus, and as he got on the bus, you know, Clough booms out, oh, welcome aboard, Archie, I believe you've got my shaving stuff and all this. And
well, it's a clear alpha male. Doesn't want people to challenge authority, so he sort of stamps it.
But incredibly, you know,
I'm not saying that's right, I'm just saying that's how he did it.
I remember reading that he hated the final.
Yeah, he did. Really, he didn't enjoy anything.
You would though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Surely you'd be happy for your teammates, but I don't think he saw it like that.
I think some players are different, aren't they? I mean,
if you've strived every sinew of your body as a professional athlete,
I think Gemmell's
so
one of those.
It's different if you were injured, but if you've been actively dropped
Gemmell would also have been part of the team at Derby that was effectively cheated out of the semi-final of the European Cup for a corrupt referee.
Sure, he played in that game, but yeah, he was in that.
So he's already had the European Cup sort of disappointment.
Yeah. But the late 70s weren't all bad for Gemmell. The year before that European Cup disappointment, I mean, he went to the 1978 World Cup finals in Argentina with a very strong Scotland team headed up by the hype machine that was Ali McLeod.
Yeah.
The Scots got off to a bad start, losing to Peru. Tiafoe Cabillas,
beat 3-1, didn't they? Pulled them to pieces, really.
Yeah, did. Then they drew with Iran. They needed to beat that brilliant Dutch side by 3 goals to go through to the second round. And for a brief moment,
they were 3-1 up.
They were the best
team in the world, weren't they, at that time, pretty much, Holland.
Certainly up there, yeah.
Dalgleish and Gemmell himself put the Scots 2-1 up before Archie. Gemmell put himself into the hearts of every Scotsman with a superb solo goal, where he did about 3 or 4 Dutchmen and coolly finished.
Still had it all to do in front of the keeper, and he just opens up his body and lifts it with his left foot over the keeper.
It's absolutely delightful, isn't it? Yeah. And I love the... He does the first man, he just slips it under him. He slips himself in.
Yeah.
He's absolutely glorious. But then, unfortunately for Scotland, a few minutes later, Johnny Rep ran up the other end and smashed one in from about 25 yards.
I think Johnny Rep was one of the players he beat in that slalom run as well.
It might well have been.
Actually, didn't it go in off Gemmell as well?
Did it? What did Johnny Rep got?
Did it take the deflection?
I thought there was some sort of... I thought he was involved in that goal in some way.
I didn't think it was. It looks like a pretty clean strike.
Oh, it's his profile, so we're going to say no.
Yeah. But that is the moment that Gemmell will be fondly remembered by.
At that tournament, there was a second group phase anyway, and the second group phase after that was an absolute pig, so Scotland, you wouldn't have got through it anyway.
Back in England, he joined Birmingham City after Forest. Didn't enjoy his time there as much as his previous club. And then in 1982, he went to the North American Soccer League, otherwise known as NASL.
NASL.
Indeed. And he played for the magnificently named Jacksonville T-Men, after which he had a short spell at Wigan.
Is that because he was teetotal?
Yeah, good well we, Jimbo. Yeah. After that short spell at Wigan.
It's about the Boston Tea Party, you freaking know that,
Jim. He finished his career at Derby County, becoming Peter Taylor's first signing for the club. Unfortunately, though, his career ended as Derby were relegated to the old third division in 1984. So he suffered a few relegations in his time, but he did suffer. He did win a few titles as well. In an incredible career. He went back to Forest shortly after that to coach alongside Brian Clough, and the two were great friends until Clough's death, which is incredible, really, considering the two big egos, you know, the two big personalities.
Well, Gem was obviously a good bloke. Let's be bygones.
Yeah, he's breathtaking, really. You wouldn't imagine Clough would have a lot of friends. He's that type of guy.
No, but I think with Clough, to a certain extent, and we've touched on this before because we've profiled him and we've talked about him at length, I think it's one of those things where if you're successful, the end justifies the means. The methods are the methods, but yeah, they're proven to be. I mean, he won back-to-back European Cups.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you can't argue with that.
He wasn't Archie Gemmell's personal coach, you know.
He's the team's coach. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but he dug him out in front of everybody so much.
But he won the European Cup.
Yeah.
So, you know. I'm not saying he wouldn't have won it had he not done
that. Yeah, I don't think those two things are related.
No, but you know what I mean, though? People are much less likely to question your methods if they're successful. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then Gemmell did coach Rotherham for a couple of seasons, and he was Scotland under-19 manager later on in 2005 to 2009, guiding his team to the final of the under-19 European Championships. Only lost out to Spain, 2-1 in the final. He hadn't lost his fiery temper years on. You'll be pleased to know, ladies and gentlemen, in 2006 he was supposed to be acting as an ambassador for White & McKay, sponsors of the SFA, and he was paraded in front of...
That's a whiskey, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah. He was paraded in front of the press pack due to one thing and another. He went mad at reporters calling them a shower of effing seas. In 2006.
Yeah. I knew we should have let him sample the product. It's a bad idea.
Indeed. But Scotland great, not just for that goal against Holland, but a superb career too. Archie Gemmell, into the Dean Wendat Hall of Fame. Absolutely.
Oh, you shower of evidence. Right, bring Pat Nevin in. Yeah. He's doing it.
Can you not get Pat? Is Pat Nevin available at all? Because this is a disaster.
Brick last for Nevin.
Yeah. That goal was 30 odd years ago.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com, Jim.
Yes, it is. There's all kinds of fun over there. There's blogs, there's the forum, there's everything you could need. Pixels.
There's a new video.
There's a new video with you in it.
Of me on my Milan adventure.
You had a little adventure with Lawrence, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
To the San Siro.
To the San Siro. Have a look at that, ladies and gentlemen.
Just as a reminder on the website, we're launching a new website in June. Ooh. So we're still looking for contributors. There's a big, I suppose, a big shortlist, if you will. But we can still have a look at other people. So show@thefootballramble.com or luke@thefootballramble.com, actually, because I'll look at them anyway.
Yeah,
so send your potential contributions in to there.
Mm. Also, as well, worth remembering, the Monday 7th of May, there's a gig at the Comedy Store. It is in aid of Balls to Homelessness. It features myself, Alan Davies, massive guest we can't say, and loads of other people, Jack Whitehall, Sean Walsh. It's going to be excellent. So come down 7th of May, Comedy Store. Tickets are £15, I think. So go to the Comedy
For
Store
for a good
website.
Cause.
Yes. Indeed.
That's about it, isn't it?
It's about it. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say
hey.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
See you later, you c***.
Marcus.
Oh, Jesus. That was a couple of seasons.
Scotland needing a miracle here. This is Archie Gemmell twisting and turning. Lovely control with that left foot from Archie Gemmell. One of the best individual goals we've seen here in Argentina.
No, I don't know. I think we...
Give me some more.
Football squad. Give me some more. I'll be the street kid that cut your mother 1 or 3 quid, but all you people don't know how to keep a secret. When they get
how
the
come you know all these rap lyrics?
Busta Rhymes,
isn't it?
Yeah, you that's said not, Busta Rhymes, didn't it? But it doesn't mean that's not an answer.
Marketing coordinator for Busta Rhymes at Polydor Records in 2005.
So you had to learn all of his lyrics.
I didn't have to, but I take my job seriously.
Give me some more. Y'all niggas want the wild shit. Give me some more. Your slip with a weed at. Give me some more. I know y'all niggas need that. Give me some more. Even though we getting money, you can give me some more. With the cars and the big crib. Give me some more. Everybody spread love. Give me some more. If you want it, let me hear you say it. Give me some more.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.